When I was a child, one of my favorite television shows began each week with these words. This is your mission, Jim, if you should choose to accept it. And if you remember the storyline, Peter Graves would begin then to gather his team together, and they would be about the project that they were to engage in. In a similar way, God has called us to be involved in a mission. This mission began 6,000 years ago inside a garden. God created Adam and Eve, and he said these words to them. He said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." In these words, God was giving to Adam and Eve the very first great commission. They were to go out into the world and to fill the world with little Christians, people who would follow God, to believe in him, and then to fill the earth with believers. But we know that they began to hunger because of the evil one for a different kind of mission. Bruce Springsteen describes this great hunger that sinful man has in these words. He says, "I got a wife and child in Baltimore, Jack. I went for a ride and I never came back. Like a river that doesn't know where it's flowing, I took a wrong turn and I just kept on going." Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and play the part. Everybody's got a hungry, hungry heart. The sad reality of those words is that they hunger, though, not for God's righteousness, but they hunger instead for sin. And that's why they lost paradise. In their rebellion, they rejected God and his mission. But inside their rejection, we have opportunity to see what the Father's heart is like. And the Father's heart is filled with mercy and with love. And what does he do, our Father? He gives to them a promise. And he says, "With this family, I will make a new beginning." And he says to Eve, "I must use your womb to bring about the salvation of mankind." And that's always been God's plan, to use families to be instruments of blessing to the nations. Time and time again inside the scriptures, we see how God fulfilled his purpose through families. Remember at the time of Noah, the entire world was filled with great violence. Man was living only for the moment. He was diverted from those things that are most important. And what did God do? He said, "I will use this man and his family. I will use Noah. And I will make a new beginning." And he said these words to Noah, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and again fill the earth." But we know that this beginning was short-lived, because the nations only made it as far as Babylon. And there they began to make a name for themselves. No longer were they interested in carrying God's name to the nations. They wanted to stop where they were at and make a place for themselves, and not fulfill God's great commission. But again, God did not forget man. Again, we see the Father's heart. And he calls this one man Abram, and with him he wants to make a new beginning. And so again, God's plan continues inside this man Abraham. One of the purposes of this Congress is to look how we are to nurture one another inside the Christian faith, especially the Christian home. And so this morning I thought, if we could, just to look at a few pictures from the life of Abraham to see how he nurtured his son Isaac, especially in the Christian faith. If you remember, Abraham waited 25 years for this son to be born. Even before Isaac is born, the great desire of Abraham is to have a child, to have a son. And then when the son is born, what does he do? Immediately he has the child circumcised on the eighth day. And one of my favorite accounts inside Genesis is when it's time for Abraham to have a feast for Isaac, because it's time for him to become weaned from his mother. And for us that are fathers, we know that that's a significant time in the life of the child because we get to spend more time with the child. No longer is that child so dependent on mom. And the child begins to come away from mom so that you can begin to spend more time and to be with your child. And so he has a great feast to celebrate that day. But probably the great event between father and son in terms of communicating the Christian faith occurred in Genesis 22, where we see that Abraham was to take his son, the son that he had waited for all those years, and to take him to Mount Moriah and there offer up the son's life because the word of the Lord told him to. And it's in that event that Abraham was able to communicate greatly to his son the Christian faith. Because in that event, he could teach Isaac, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the Lord's mouth. He was able to teach Isaac that the Lord will always provide, especially on this mountain will the Lord provide. He was able to teach his son that love for God is greater than any love in this lifetime, even the love of a father for a son. And especially he was able to teach Isaac that even though he might die, God would raise him up because the promise was with Isaac. These are great truths that Abraham was able to communicate to his son, and he nurtured him in the faith. The last picture in the life of Abraham in terms of nurture occurred after Sarah had died. And Abraham must find a godly wife for his son. His son was not to be lost to a pagan belief system, but he must find Rebekah, and his descendants must have a good mother. Do you see the nurturing that Abraham did during his lifetime? Many other things that he do, but these are recorded to help us understand our task of nurturing one another. As I was trying to think this morning, what kind of picture from the New Testament would help us in terms of understanding the dual mission in our lives of nurture in our homes and mission to the world was the transfiguration of our Lord. Jesus gathered his disciples to a mountain, and there he spent time with them so that they could again understand truly who he was, God's purposing in his coming. But then they were to come down from the mountain, and they were to go out into the world on a mission. And that's what our homes are to be. Places where we're nurtured in the faith, strengthened in the faith, but then also empowered to go out into the world to touch every area of life with Jesus Christ. And like the early church, to have people see that we've been with Jesus inside our homes. And the challenge is great. I would like to close this morning with another song. I like to listen to modern music. And the reason I listen to it is because there's a great danger I feel in our Christian lives is that we forget what it's like to be lost. We forget what it's like to live in darkness because we are so well nurtured in our homes and in our churches. Again, I turn to Bruce Springsteen and a song that he wrote several years ago to help us understand what it's like to live in darkness. Bruce writes this. The message keeps getting clearer. The radio's on, and I'm moving around this place. I check my look in the mirror. I want to change my clothes, my hair, and my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere, just living in a dump like this. There's something happening somewhere. Baby, I just know there is. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire, even if we're just dancing in the dark. Later in the song, Springsteen says, I need a love reaction. That's what I need. The problem for Bruce is that he settles for eros, a physical, passionate kind of love. And that's all he gets. We've been touched by God's love. We know what it is. This is love that Jesus Christ gave his life for us. And he says, we've been touched by that light, the light that has lightened our hearts, the light that shines in our hearts. And may our homes be places where that light shines. But may we also go out into the world to bear witness to the light of who Jesus is, so that those people walking and dancing in darkness might have light. I close with these words from Paul. He says, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Amen.